This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha eats.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha. So glad to have you with us on another edition of DeRusha Eats. And one of my favorite topics in food is coffee. I really think Minnesota has an undiscovered incredible coffee scene. Yes, you think of Seattle, maybe you think of Austin, Texas, the big cities perhaps for New York, but I'm telling you, the action going on in coffee roasting is top-notch here in Minnesota. Sam Chelberg is part of it. He is a third-wave coffee roaster. His company is called SK Coffee. His origin story is fascinating. I'm sure he thinks the origin story of his beans is more fascinating than his own. But his story of how SK Coffee went from just an in-house operation to a small roaster in St. Paul to now a location in downtown Minneapolis. How does he craft flavors? How did he start his company? We'll get into it. Plus, one of the biggest coffee companies in the United States is roasting right in suburban Minneapolis. Caribou Coffee. We've got Gretchen Hashemirad, who is in charge of Caribou Coffee's beverage category, because your local Caribou is a lot more than just that cup of black coffee or that latte or cappuccino. It's all the innovation in new flavors, new textures, cold beverages. Fascinating stuff from Gretchen. She'll talk about how she and her team create new and hot-selling drinks, even if they're not hot in temperature. Sit back. Grab a cup of Joe and enjoy episode 13 of our second season of DeRusha Eats. I am excited to talk about coffee on DeRusha Eats today. I think if you follow me on social media, you know that I love coffee. Because if you can nerd out about cocktails, wine, a local food, the logical place to then direct your nerddom is coffee. Because it is... You can get obsessed about equipment, you can get obsessed about beans, and it's a great, great money pit. So I highly recommend it. Our guest today is really one of the best coffee roasters in, well, I get coffee from all over the country, and I think Sam Chelberg from SK Coffee is one of the best in the country.
Thank you.
It's good to have you
wow.
here. I love coffee. You drink coffee from all over the place, right?
Yeah, and you know, I would say I also like coffee.
Yeah, just
believe it
little.
Or not. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not sick of it after making it your job.
Yeah, that's right. No.
Good.
No, not at all.
That's good. SK Coffee started as sort of a hobby, right?
That's right. Yeah. So oddly enough, first of all, Jason, thanks for having me on. This is really a pleasure. Really, we actually started, oddly enough, in Boston, Massachusetts. Mm. I'm here a native of the Twin Cities, but I was studying classical music, and no coffee profession is a straight path by any means.
Right.
And yeah, I was a classical musician studying conducting and teaching out in Boston, and started roasting in my apartment and brought
you,
it back
You were
here.
Roasting in your apartment in Boston.
That's right. Yep.
And how did that go over for other people in the apartment building?
I don't exactly know how we got away with it,
right.
frankly.
Like, you're probably not allowed to have a grill?
Oh, no. And Jason, get this. We literally had a 5-pound-at-a-time commercial roaster in the kitchen. Like, the thing was the size
oh, wow.
of an oven. And I built my own, like, yeah. Exhaust system to pipe out the window and everything. It was wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what maybe wasn't scratching the itch you needed in classical music. I mean, it seems like already you were a bit of a failure to your family. Like, they raised someone who wanted to study classical music. You're like, great. How many orchestra jobs are out there? And then you're like, no, I'm ditching that to roast coffee.
That's right. And actually, I was, I guess you could say I was a double failure, because I come from a long line of Lutheran ministers. Oh. Good old Swedish Minnesota boy, you know. And I didn't want to do that either. So I think the thing for me was that I was really interested. I like to say kind of lowercase e entrepreneurship. When that bug bites you, it's really hard to shake it off. And in classical music, while I still highly enjoy it and I go to concerts and I still sing and conduct and perform, it just didn't really have those opportunities. And I really was like, what the heck else do I do?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So
because the realization sunk in that you always would be working for someone.
Right. Right, exactly. Huh. And especially the music that I was doing. I really enjoyed either early, early music from the 1600s or super, super new music from today.
Not great commercial prospects.
Not on those ends of the commercial spectrum. No, exactly, exactly.
Sam Shelberg is our guest. SK Coffee is his business. So you started roasting in your apartment and then you brought it here.
That's right. Yep. My now wife, Nellie, and I moved out, strapped the thing in the back of a U-Haul and started the business in the Whittier neighborhood, actually, which is funny because now our second cafe is back in the Whittier neighborhood, in fact. But we did the whole farmer's market scene and everything.
That's where I think people started telling me about your coffee. When you were doing farmer's markets and you were roasting at home, and people are like, oh, you got to try this. It's really good.
Yeah.
And you think, like, people always say that.
Right. Right.
But it was really good.
But yeah, I mean, I mean, certainly I'm biased, but I think that what I think we're doing a little bit different, Jason, is that we're trying to focus on the bean itself. And in your introduction, you're like, you can either go the equipment route or the beans or the process, et cetera. And that middle, that bean, that origin, the process, the people, the place, that's really what drives us. And I think it does give us a slightly unique edge to the industry here.
I think a lot of our listeners are regular coffee drinkers, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's an instant coffee or whether it's gas station coffee or whatever. I personally, like, I love all the coffees. They all have you're the son of a Lutheran minister. You must have had some Lutheran church basement.
Oh yeah, egg coffee.
The egg coffee.
Had plenty of it.
I think there's room for all of it. When it comes to what a roaster does. So, how much, I guess, explain why the average person might be interested in spending a little more money and exploring, like, different beans, different roasters.
Yeah, so let's think about this in comparison to wine, right? So wine is very easy to see the funnel of, oh yeah, you got your kind of commodity brands, your Yellowtail, your box wines, although box wines are getting better and better, as we know.
True.
But it's easy and the path is clear in how you get to better and better, more curated wines, right? And what are the things that people look for? It's less and less about blended reds or blended whites. It's varietal specific. It's age specific, right? And these same things matter in coffee as well. Varietals especially, you know, we talk about Arabica. Well, probably almost all of the coffee you and your listeners have consumed, unless it's instant coffee,
right,
is going to be Arabica.
Arabica beans. Yeah.
But within that, you have thousands, frankly, countless varietals. And every single one of those varieties tastes different. And the reason stuff costs that much is that sometimes it's harder to grow certain varieties, and it takes a little more
and
care.
And coffee is a berry, right?
Coffee is a berry, yep. And you
so
have to,
much like wine, your comparison, I think, is really good for people to get their arms around. So just like you would taste like a Cabernet Sauvignon from California would taste different if you had that same grape and you were growing it in Spain.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly. And in fact, if you come to one of our shops and talk to one of either me or one of our other teammates, we have varietals that are grown all over the world. Tipicas, Bourbons, even more kind of rare varieties like the Geisha variety or Java or Sidra. These things, these may not make any sense to you if you're not aware in listening to this, but come visit us you can taste the difference.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And some of it is the roast, right? The way you roast it kind of brings out the flavor. But sometimes it's just like, oh, I guess what would be useful for people to know, you know, are there certain regions of the world where maybe you get more of a chocolatey, nutty flavor as compared to like a fruity, brighter flavor?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think for many years, that has been origin is sort of how you kind of guide people one way or the other.
A shorthand, right?
Yeah. And I think generally speaking, that still can be the case. You know, Central South Americans are going to be your more creamy, nutty, chocolatey vibes. African coffees tend to be a little bit more bright, a little more sweet, citrus as well, sometimes even earthy. And then speaking of earthy, you have like the kind of Pacific Islands area, like Malaysia, Sumatra, Indonesia. Mm. And these are going to have a little bit more, even more of that earthy vibe to it. But right now what's happening is like farmers from all over can sort of guide flavor profiles based on, as you said, the coffee's a cherry. Well, you got to get that pit, right? The bean, the thing out of the cherry, and how that pit gets out of the cherry is a huge factor in flavor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Sam Chelberg is with us, SK Coffee. We're going to take a break. I want to talk about how Sam is in the process of opening up new coffee shops, and some of them in downtown Minneapolis, sort of the investment and the gamble a little bit that downtown will come back. So we'll talk to Sam about that as we continue. Some text coming in, too. I'll ask you some of the listener questions as well. 651-461-9226. Drive time with DeRussia. DeRussia Eats. Thanks to the Pork Board and Liquor Boy continues next. Talking coffee on DeRussia Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy. Sam Chelberg from SK Coffee had his first shop, still open in Vandalia Tower, which is right. There's like a distillery over there now. And what's the brewery? That's
Lake Monster.
Lake Monster.
Yep.
Right near like 280 and 94, right between St. Paul and Minneapolis. You mentioned that you're in Whittier now at 24th and Lindale Avenue South.
That's right.
And coming soon to the Skyway in downtown Minneapolis. Now, who in their right mind in the current kind of Skyway or business climate would open up in downtown Minneapolis?
Yeah, it's a great question.
What is wrong with you, Sam? Actually, I'm glad. Like,
I mean,
because there are still people working down here.
Yeah, totally. And I think this is, you know, this is the thing. Obviously, it is a risk, but really everything is a risk in business, right? But yeah, certainly opening up in the Skyway, where every news article for the last 3 or 4 years has been downtowns are dying,
right? Yeah, people working from home. Is there a future to going to work?
I mean, simply put, we're definitely kind of bullish, to use a business word, on the downtown. And certainly, you know, if you ask me sort of in this sort of omniscient narrative, like above it all, there's no way that, you know, cities and governments of those cities are going to allow their downtowns to fully die away. You know, they're going to find ways to revamp it or reinvent it, rather. Yeah. But, you know, so we had a very candid conversation with the building ownership, and they're like, look, you guys, we have over 1,000 people coming in every day. And there's just no coffee. And that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
In one building.
Yeah.
And yes, things have changed. You know, Mondays and Fridays tend to be a little slower, you know, the hybrid model. But I think what it seems like is when people go downtown, they're looking for a different type of curated experience, right? Which is why I think they really wanted a local kind of craft-oriented coffee company to go into that former Caribou.
Yeah.
You know, they can get their Caribous out in Wayzata, Eden Prairie, wherever they're living.
Right.
But when they come into the office, you know, they want something really special. They want to treat their clients. And the building we're going into, 50 South 6th, is a really highly service-based building, if you're aware. It's the Deloitte, Dorsey Whitney, Stinson, I believe, is the other law firm down there. So
the Oceanair is in that building,
right? Oceanair, yep, yeah. You're right, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's great, man.
Yeah.
What does it feel like? I mean, you know, you went to college here in...
I went to Concordia Moorhead.
Went to Concordia Moorhead.
Yep.
Grew up, you know, and... Your business grew up here, and now you're going to be right in downtown.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's wild.
Texter's asking if you do decaf coffee.
We do, yeah. And in fact, I don't want to, you know, prop ourselves up, but hey, why the heck not?
If you're not going to, nobody else is.
Many people come to our place specifically for the decaf.
Hmm.
They say it's some of the best in town. I think mostly we just you know, buy really good decaf from actually a local importer called Cafe Imports. They do a fantastic job.
How you get your beans or a lot of them? Yeah.
A lot of them. Not all of them, but quite a few. Definitely the decaf, and we just roast it.
I love those guys. They are incredible. I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that many of the great coffee shops around the world. They get their beans through Cafe Imports right here in the Twin Cities.
They are 5 minutes drive from Vandalia Tower.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Someone else is asking if you could actually grow coffee in Minnesota.
We're currently growing little trees in our cafe, and I have a slightly bigger tree in my house. So, yes, you can grow the plant. Can you actually produce the cherries in a quantity enough? Probably not. In fact, I met with one of the deep freeze greenhouse experts at the U just to see
could it possibly be?
And he basically laughed at me. So I was like, okay. So there's my answer.
Coffee is one of the plants that when you look at climate change – shifts in temperature have an immediate and visible impact on wine and also on coffee.
Yeah.
I think what's your, you know, I think anyone who drinks coffee has felt prices go up because the cost of the bean is going up because of some of these issues.
Yeah.
Climate is part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give you a very satisfying answer only because we're all learning. And I think like a lot of industries, the sort of, for lack of a better description, the kind of higher end part of that industry tends to be the last to get hit.
Sure.
Because, you know, people who come to our shop are used to paying $20 a bag up to $45 a bag. And so those subtle price variations are a little less noticeable.
Right.
But it is going to shift for sure. And the World Coffee Research is working really hard with farmers and growing communities around the world to try and develop new varieties and species to kind of get ahead of that for sure.
Sam Chelberg, SK Coffee. You can find the coffee if you want to check it out at those shops, Vandalia Tower and in Whittier. You can buy online as well at skcoffeeplease.com. Before we go, 3 restaurant recommendations.
Yes. And I thought about your questions the prompt, and I have them in 3 categories.
All right. Hit us.
1, my survival restaurant for so many years, World Street Kitchen.
Yes.
Oh,
so good.
My God. So good. So reliable. My wife and I, we do this thing where if we want takeout, we look at each other and we say, if you can guess what I'm thinking, we have to do it. And it's always order Gorkha Palace.
Ah, excellent.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Such good kind of Himalayan area food.
Right. Right in Northeast Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Very good.
So good. And then kind of my aspirational restaurant that I love. I've only been able to go once, but I was super inspired. And I'm sure many people who've come on here have said Awamni. I mean, it's just amazing and truly inspirational, certainly for the kind of work we're doing. And by no means am I even comparing us to the work they're doing. But wow. Incredible.
Very cool. Sam Shelberg, when's the new shop open up?
January, early January.
All right. You're close to us, so
yeah,
we're glad to hear it. Glad to have you here.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North. Pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRusha family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
DeRusha Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRusha.
I'm fascinated by creativity, innovation, new ideas. And our guest for DeRusha Eats today has a job where she lives entirely in the world of innovating and being creative. And she's come up with stuff that I bet you've drank before in this episode of DeRusha Eats. And DeRusha Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and by Liquor Boy. Gretchen Hashimi Rod is the beverage category manager at Caribou Coffee. Gretchen, that title sounds so boring.
It's selfishly, I believe it's the funnest job at Caribou.
It is a fun job. Your job is amazing, and why I wanted you to come in is the fact that you've touched and come up with so many different concepts that have shown up at Caribou's. And I think people sometimes forget, they know like Caribou started here, but they forget that, like, all of you guys are roasting and coming up with creative ideas right in Brooklyn Center, right?
Yeah, just up the road here. Behind me is a team of people. But, yes, we spend all day thinking about what's new, what's cool, what should we try, what are the Caribou guests looking for. And we have lots of guests who are looking for their mainstays, their favorites, but a lot of younger consumers these days that are really pushing the envelope in terms of experimentation, cold coffee, non-dairy, a lot of things we spend a lot of time talking about.
It's so fascinating because you look at McDonald's, which is creating a whole separate chain of restaurants designed really as a centerpiece around the idea of a beverage. It's something that you guys have noticed in the fact that a coffee shop like Caribou is like sort of a coffee shop. Like, it depends how you want to use it, right?
Yeah, certainly. And when
that's
Caribou,
changed, that it didn't used to be like that, did it?
I was just going to say that when Caribou started 31 years ago now, It was, you know, black coffee, some cold coffee, and some frou-frou sort of drinks with caramel and vanilla. And in the last maybe 10 years, we've seen a huge wave of expansion into cold coffee, but a lot of expansion into things that aren't coffee that really play well in the later day parts. And we've seen that certainly with our competitive set out in the market.
So what are some of the things that you've created over the years? I know, like, you're modest and we'll say it was a team and blah, blah, blah. But, like, what did you come up with?
The most recent innovation was our vanilla oatnog latte that came out this holiday season.
So talk through that. How long does it take from when you come up with vanilla oatnog?
So it's a very good question. People ask me that all the time. We started working on oatnog last January.
Was that obvious of a question? No.
Maybe they prepped you with some things to ask me. Easy fastballs. We started last January on oatnog, actually. So the holiday platform has been very similar year after year. We bring back the ho-ho-mint mocha. We bring back spicy mocha. And we've always done eggnog.
I like the spicy mocha.
It has the spicy drink. It's like a cult following, really.
Yeah.
And so last January, we thought, what if we switched it up? What if we didn't do eggnog? What would we do instead? And this oatnog sort of had hit the market a little bit bigger over the years, and certainly in the retail space. We brought it in. We started trying different flavor syrups, and we really landed on vanilla as a flavor people understand for adding a new drink in a window that is filled with a lot of favorites people just wait all year for. It's super traditional time of year, and people don't want a lot of change. And it flew off the shelves. It did really, really well, so that was super exciting.
What do you take away from that?
Non-dairy continues to just climb and climb and climb. So the younger demographic is really over-indexing on oat milk specifically.
Yeah, the kids love oat milk.
They love oat milk.
It just tastes a little like oatmeal, juicy.
O-y.
It's a little oaty for me. I don't know.
Yeah, they really love it.
I feel like a loser when I go to the coffee shop and they give you the 40 different milks and milk substitutes. And I'm like, you know what? Just milk. That's fine.
Just from the cow.
Just right from the cow.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2% fully leaded. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But
the kids love it.
The kids love it.
They really do.
And it's way beyond. Now, people will text and be like, Jason, I can't. Yeah, of course. Plenty of people can't do dairy. This is amazing for them. Right?
Yeah, right.
But for many, many others, this is very much just a preference.
It is. And it's certainly more sustainable. So I think it gets a lot of accolades for that from that younger group that's just a little bit more interested in things that are better for the environment and tastes great. It is the best non-dairy alternative to milk in terms of thickness, texture. It feels like milk versus a lot of almond milk, soy milk, etc., that get really watery.
Which, that's a big deal when it comes to making a beverage,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. You need it to froth, you need it to steam well, and if it feels like milk, it helps everybody.
It should probably perform the same way. And for your team trying to create it, they sort of get it, right?
Yeah.
Because people have to execute what you come up with in the stores.
Yeah. So we write recipes in the lab, and we definitely need a lot of people behind us to say, here's how we're going to teach the teams to do this. How do we want the baristas to talk about this? And I got to be honest, I had some anxiety over this drink because I thought, man, we've done the fala latte, the eggnog latte for so many years. And how are people going to take this?
Are you going to get destroyed for
Yeah,
this?
Are people going to be mad at me? Are they going to be picketing outside the building?
Would you get fired if a drink flopped?
No.
Are you sure?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, my boss is behind me. She's shaking her head,
Jason. It seems like you're okay. What about if two drinks
I would be
flopped?
Okay. I know. Yeah, there's probably a number at some point.
It is part of the risk, though, right? Like, you, and you talked about that anxiety when you launch a drink.
Yeah.
It's not in no, you know, we have chefs on this show all the time who talk about when they come up with something, you do not know if someone's going to buy it.
No, you don't.
And so for you, that's multiplied times the number of caribous there are around here and around the country.
Yeah.
The world, you're in Dubai now, right? So
right.
Like,
yeah, it's hard to handle sometimes. Most of the time you just have to say, I think this is going to do great and we'll see how it goes. And not everything is going to work. And you sort of take that lens when you're in product development in general. Like, you're going to come up with something that's great, that you think is great, and sometimes it's not going to sell, and other times it'll sell better than you thought. And so for oatnog, I was pretty conservative about it. I thought, let's try something new. Let's be a little careful. We don't want a bunch of oatnog in the stores in February. So let's head into this carefully. And we had
to sell it. You gotta sell it.
We had to order a lot more throughout the window to keep up with sales. So that was great. And you do the best you can, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Gretchen Hashemi-Rod is our guest. She is in charge of beverage for Caribou. How do you become what you are? You went to Luther College, right?
I did, yeah.
And you studied the logical thing you study before becoming a beverage.
Biology, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's common track.
What happened when you graduated from college?
Well, it's weird. I was in education, so I did some student teaching.
And you're right, a local. You're from Rochester.
Yep. Yep. And I've been in the Twin Cities for about 20 years now. And, I did some teaching after college, and then I was in a QA position with ConAgra.
Okay.
And from there, moved to Caribou. And at my first job at Caribou was a product technician in the R&D space. So I reported to the chef at the time.
Okay.
And was really like, you know, a lab sort of tech. I learned how all the equipment works, how to maintain it. I worked with vendors on samples and things like that. And then, you know, that was 15 years ago, which in Caribou years is a lot. I mean, that's half the time Caribou's been around. So I've seen a lot. I've learned a lot. But
your background is more, originally anyway, was science.
Correct.
Was running a lab, was quality control, systems.
Yep.
And over the years, sort of flavor, innovation, that has become, is that more of your focus now?
Yeah, and certainly the business side of things, which was not a area of focus for me in college. So a lot of learning on the job at Caribou. You've been to our headquarters. It's not that big.
Right.
And for the more and more we expand throughout the country, we're still sort of a pretty small corporate headquarters. And so we do a lot of things. Each of us do a lot of jobs and just learned, picked up the business, picked up strategies, tactics.
So interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I have more questions for you about
great
Crafted Press, I want to ask about.
Yes.
We're getting some texts. So if people have their, you know, what Caribou drink went away that you want to complain
about.
Let's
do it. Let's open it up.
651-461-9226. DeRussia Eats, we're talking about Caribou. Our guest is Gretchen Hashemi-Rod, and we're talking about innovation and creativity when it comes to beverages at what we used to think about as mainly a coffee shop. Back in a minute with more DeRussia Eats next. Just sharing stories here on DeRussia Eats. I vividly remember, as we welcome back Gretchen Hashemi-Rod, the beverage category manager for Caribou Coffee, all the innovation, the lab, the headquarters right here in the Twin Cities. And we should note that the original Caribou closed today.
It did.
Sort of bittersweet, but part of like, sort of remarkable, you think, what started in that one little shop at 44th and France.
Yeah. Yeah. 31 years ago. It's a long time.
It's crazy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Back in that day, like no one even knew what a espresso or what a latte was.
No.
Very uncommon.
I've heard stories that the Puckets were like running to the store for milk.
Yes. And John told me he used to go down the Edina Theater and hand out coupons to try to get anyone to come down and get some customers.
That's amazing.
And now you think it's this global brand. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I used to order the light white berry.
Light white berry.
And once, when I worked at TV, an intern offered to go and get me coffee. And so I asked for a light white berry. And he came back and in the news meeting said, "Here's your light white berry." And apparently that was not seen at that time as an appropriately manly beverage. I was roundly mocked for it.
It's not the most masculine drink.
Do we have to gender our beverages?
Of course
can't
not.
We
no, and, right. You know, right. I would never mock anybody for their coffee.
Well, preference. The psychology of what you order, though, I mean, it is part of the what's been fascinating for me as you watch Caribou, Starbucks, McDonald's, Dunkin'. You have all of these national giants that really specialize in beverages.
Yes.
Coffee was the beginning.
Yep.
Coffee will be the foundation. But most of the innovation you're coming up with, is coffee a part of it?
Some, yeah. Some. And we're working quite a bit on the non-coffee space, but it's really cold-focused is really where we're
cold.
Aiming, yeah.
What is, when you look on the horizon, what are the flavors or what are the areas that you think, looking forward into 2024, might be the focus?
Yeah, I think to go back to something I said earlier, non-dairy continues to be at the top of our list, and how can we keep things, you know, keep highlighting oat milk as an example. The demographic that's under 35 is really looking to be able to customize. They want to make their drink their own. So that's important that there's a level of customization possible in each drink. They like colorful drinks. They want to Instagram their drinks.
Yeah.
They want to, you know, put things on TikTok and social media and look cool drinking their beverage of choice. And they want function. So we're spending some time in as many of those areas as we can.
Function is something that I'm very interested in. And I saw a story on the national news the other day talking about how many Americans are going to be on weight loss drugs.
Oh.
And as more Americans are doing medical weight loss, they are starting to seek out more kind of protein-packed beverages, which I think is super interesting.
Right.
You're like, huh, the idea of, you know, back in the day, there was maybe a juice bar. It's like, oh, is that going to be a trend?
Yeah.
Or, and no, not here. This isn't California.
Right.
But you're like, oh, if I could go to Caribou and get like a protein drink, that would be cool if you needed those nutrients in your beverage, right?
Yeah, and I think in the grocery space or like the ready-to-drink sort of aisle, you can find so many functional beverages that the consumer is saying, tell me what this will do for me.
That's what
I'll
functional,
go buy it.
Some of you are like, functional? What
yeah,
are you talking
that's
about?
True.
But it's like water that'll help you focus.
Right, or hydration. Or do you want something that will help you calm down to fall asleep? Do you want to focus? Do you want to, you know, are you going to drink this on the way to the gym? Do you want protein? Do you want something to keep you fuller longer? You know, you fill in the blank, and it's out there. And so there's
So you monitor all those trends.
Yeah, we're watching those a lot because some of them translate to handcrafted beverages and others may not translate as well.
Sure.
So we watch that all the time.
Our guest is Gretchen Hashemi-Rod, the Caribou Coffee Beverage Category Manager. Some texts from the listeners.
Yeah.
Frozen hot chocolate. Why did that go away?
Okay, good question.
Did you create it?
It was not my personal creation, but I was on the product team.
Sad when one of your things, you're like,
sad.
Oh, we have to take it away. I really liked it. I spent a year coming up with it.
It is sad. My kids also loved the frozen hot chocolate. Froho Cho was it called lovingly. We did discontinue that really out of a ingredient optimization, handling some back of house storage, and you know, overall sales weren't great. So I do have to monitor that on what's selling, what's not, where can we make space in the back of the house for new ingredients or new innovation.
It is interesting because a lot of your shops are not huge square footage.
No, most of them aren't.
So if you're adding a drink that has two ingredients that aren't part of your normal thing.
Right. Where are they going to fit? Or is something leaving when these come in?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you like that part of your job, sort of the strategic Jenga puzzle figuring out?
Yeah, I do. I also am not shy from talking about discontinuing things. You know, some things have to go to make room for new things, and we can't keep, you know, menu boards in the stores with hundreds of drinks on them. So
you're not the Cheesecake Factory.
We're not Cheesecake Factory.
The menu
pages
is,
and pages.
It's not happening. Yeah, Hot Apple Blast is another one a couple people are texting about.
Yeah, Apple Blast. I knew that one was going to be a little painful for some folks.
That's a seasonal fall drink.
It was. Yeah, it was on the permanent menu for many, many years and then went away and came back and did not return this fall. And it definitely let us know that there's a gap there in the fall time for the non-pumpkin people or the non-coffee people. And so certainly something I'm spending a lot of time working on for what does fall of 2024 look like?
For the non-pumpkin.
For the non-pumpkin or the non-coffee.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the seasonality of this where it's become like a celebratory moment.
Right.
It's kind of interesting to me.
Right. And how to fit in things next to, you know, pumpkin takes the stage everywhere.
Ugh.
One time a year,
that
you know hussy, what every coffee shop is going to do.
She just comes and takes all the attention.
She really does.
She does.
And what can you
do? And
put
you try
to
differentiate, right? Because the PSL was first.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, how do we caribou it?
Right. We were the first ones to use a pumpkin puree in our sauce, which really set us apart. That's pretty common now out in the competitive space.
But when you first launched that, it tasted so different from the sort of powdered thing that other people were doing.
It was a really different experience. And it's been the same ever since we did that. But now what we spend our time on is how many ways you can get pumpkin. Do you want something less indulgent? Do you want a pumpkin white mocha? You know, all the calories, all the pumpkin. Or the brand new drink this year is the pumpkin espresso shaker. So for the cold folks who really want a lot of pumpkin flavor because there's not a lot of milk.
Texter asking about THC beverages. Is that something you talk about as a brand?
We talk about it. It's not anywhere on the roadmap at this point, but a lot to learn from that space. It's certainly in the functional realm, I suppose, to some degree.
Yeah.
But not currently in any sort of R&D work, but very interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you really, whether it works for Caribou or not, like knowing what flavors are hot or what trends is pretty important for the business.
Yeah, and there was a time that convenience stores were not our competitive set, and they are now. And so it's trying to keep an eye on all of the marketplaces and all the ways people are consuming beverages and what we can do, you know, to bring them into Caribou.
What's your favorite beverage?
Iced Crafted Press. Just classic, no flavor.
And when you go, do you have coffee in the morning? Or are you like, good Lord?
Coffee at home is hot coffee in the morning. So right now it's Reindeer Blend. Brought you some of that.
And you're involved in that too, the blending? Or?
I am not, no. A team of experts and geniuses are in charge of that. I think you spent some time with
one of your, you know, you guys source all the coffee and roast it locally, which anyone who lives near the headquarters, you know.
They know, yeah.
Because you could smell it right along Highway 100. Sometimes you get a whiff of it driving down the highway. Back in the day when Surly was cranking up Furious across the highway and you guys were roasting, you were like, oh, all my favorite smells on both sides of the road. It's pretty good. Tea. Texters saying they want more tea.
More tea. We are spending...
Just non-coffee, like people looking for those other things. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, along the line, matcha has gotten a lot of hits in the last couple of years competitively, so some matcha attention.
Just tastes like dirt to me.
You have to sweeten it a little. That's the trick.
It's so interesting. Fun to see all the text and questions from people.
Oh, great.
And we talked a little bit about Cosmix, about the Milwaukee, or the McDonald's.
Yeah.
You guys are watching that, of course.
Absolutely. I can't wait to visit one.
It seems like they're going crazy, like super creative, funky stuff.
Bright and colorful, a lot of options, completely different.
It's fascinating.
I think Chicago will be the closest one. I can't wait to go.
Who would have thought, you know, back 31 years ago when Caribou started, the kind of stuff that you guys would be doing?
I know. Yeah. I don't think they could have dreamt
of that. 15 years ago for you.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. Really fun talking to you. Gretchen Hashimi-Rod, the beverage category manager.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Gretchen. It is 4:33. That's DeRussia Eats. We thank Liquor Boy in St. Louis Park, and we thank our friends at the Minnesota Pork Board for their support.
Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY. .com, Jason at odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.